Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What do weaving and music have in common? And where does color come in? A remarkable exhibit of the art of weaving that incorporates all three is at the Mills Gallery at Central College. Let's go in depth with Jennifer Moore, textile and decorative artist from Santa Fe. Well, Jennifer, what an amazing exhibit of weaving.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful in so many ways. I can't even describe it in terms of the weaving itself, the colors that you use, the geometry. What got you started weaving?
Well, I've been weaving for about 35 years now. I was a college student at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon. And I was working on a double major in art and biology with a minor in pipe organ performance. And so my degree is actually biological illustration, and I thought that I was going to go on to become a medical illustrator, but I kind of dabbled around and took one class in each of the media within the art department. And so I signed up for a weaving class, and as soon as I walked in the weaving room, I felt like I was at home. And when I first had the opportunity to sit down and weave at a floor loom, it felt so familiar to me because it was very similar to playing the pipe organ with the foot pedals and the way your hands and feet work together. So I felt like I was playing the pipe organ, except it was coming out in color.
Wow.
And also weaving notation that you read to set up the loom looks a lot like music. So for me, there was this connection right away between weaving and music, which has been a theme that has carried throughout my life.
Wow, and so I guess I see that now, but I'd never made that connection between weaving and music. Do other people make that connection?
They do, actually. I'm certainly not the first person to make that connection and to see those relationships. And several other people have explored that to some extent as well. But I actually used that as my theme for my master's thesis when I did my Master of Fine Arts in weaving. I studied relationships between weaving and music through their underlying mathematical structures.
All right. And so that's way too complex to talk about, I suspect.
Well, not entirely. In the process of working on this and trying to figure out how exactly I was going to create correlations visually between the two, I decided to go about it through their underlying mathematical structures because they both do have a mathematical base. And so I started reading books that connected them in some way and ended up getting interested in the field of sacred geometry, which is millennia old, where people have studied the natural world to find patterns and proportions that appear in nature and then incorporate those into what they have made. And that has been going on since ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, and so on.
And so if I say in the patterns in your work, I just feel they all feel familiar. Is that why?
It might be, yes, because one of the ideas that I work with a lot is the golden proportion, which is a proportion that is found everywhere in the world, including in our bodies. And so even if you don't know about it, on a subconscious level, people respond very positively to it because it's what we see around us all the time.
Well, and one of the things that I see is replication. I see different scales in the pattern. I can look at a small section and then I see it replicated beyond that. Is that something you're doing on purpose?
Yes, it is. That would be what's known as a fractal. And a fractal is an image that repeats at varying scales. So you can see miniature images of the whole as you go down layers and layers deeper. And I'm doing that very consciously in several of these pieces here.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jennifer Moore, textile and decorative artist from Santa Fe.
And so are you telling me that you're reflecting something that's operating in our mind? Is that?
In our mind and in nature.
In nature.
Yes.
So that's why they seem familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do see it in the world. And so there would be a familiarity to it, even if you're not consciously aware of it.
Well, and there's a familiarity, but there's a uniqueness, too. I mean, some of these are just, you know, when the word awesome actually meant awesome?
Yes.
Rather than just everything's awesome.
Right.
But, I mean, it just brings awe and wonder. I mean, real awe and wonder looking at them.
Mm. Well, that's nice to hear, because that's what I hope for.
Well, and there's a piece over here that reminds me of music and of rain and rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something I'm just making up looking at it, or?
No, well, the imagery of rainbows, of course, is because of the color, and the patterning would evoke rain, but the musical connection is very conscious. This was part of my thesis project that was inspired by a piece of Bach's called The Chromatic Fantasy. And the word chromatic has a double meaning. It has a meaning in music and it means color. So So that's very intentional.
But I guess in the context, I at least didn't think about the two contexts. I'm told in music and in color we use those words, but
right.
Okay, so there is a connection. I guess it's there, but I guess you had to point it out to me again.
Well, I had been reading a book about Bach and his life and about the pieces that he wrote, and that title, Chromatic Fantasy, just kept going through my head, and I stopped to think, well, why do I keep thinking about this? And then I realized that there was that double meaning, and that really intrigued me, and I decided that I wanted to weave a chromatic fantasy. And so this is my visual interpretation of the piece of music.
Well, in the way that it's woven, it almost looks like it's like you could play it. It's a bunch of harps playing.
Mm-hmm.
And was that intentional?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
And with this piece, what I did was I got a recording of the music as well as a copy of the sheet music. And this is a piece that he wrote for the harpsichord. And when you look at the written music, you just see one note after another. There's no chords, no two notes played together. But when you listen to it, it's played so quickly that these notes blend together and create harmonics. And so you hear these harmonics that are not by notes being played together, but one after another, and the harmonics interweaving themselves. And when I designed this piece, I put on the music, and I put out big sheets of graph paper on a table, and I just listened to the music over and over and over, and just let it come out how it felt to me.
Well, I'm not going to do this, of course, but I feel like I could walk over there and put my hands on it and it would play.
Mm-hmm.
Only it would play, not just the music, but in color.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's what you wanted to do?
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, it's not always easy to interpret work, but am I missing anything else in that piece?
I don't think so. I think you got it really nicely.
Well, it's quite beautiful. It's quite beautiful. And the relationship between music and color, it comes out in the weaving and the pattern of the weaving and the color. And then that same kind of thing is replicated across virtually all of your other pieces in one way or another, maybe not quite so obviously. Is
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
what you're seeking to do too?
Yeah. Color is probably the most fun part of what I do and the most inspiring part of what I do. I love working with color and creating gradations of color and I try to get a sense of glowing light, like they're lit from within. And that inspires a lot of my work. And then pattern and repetition are themes that are continuous through my work quite a bit. And I study a lot about other cultures and patterns and sort of the anthropology of pattern in other cultures. And that's a great source of inspiration for me.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jennifer Moore, textile and decorative artist from Santa Fe.
And so where does your ideas for colors come from? They all work together beautifully, and it's some colors are transforming into other colors.
Right. Well, I work in a particular type of yarn to a large extent. It's a cotton yarn, and I own over 200 colors of that yarn. So I have a huge range of colors, and I have a wall that is all built-in shelves that's completely filled with these cones of yarn that I have arranged by color. And so I will have an idea for a general color sense that I want and go over to that wall and just start pulling cones of yarn off the shelves that might fit in with that. And then I lay them down on the floor and start moving them around and keep working with that until I have a nice connection between them all, a harmonious gradation.
And I'm suspecting that they might reflect your mood of the day?
They probably do. Or just if I have a sense of the design that I'm going to do, what kind of a color mood I want that piece to have. That's usually one of the first things that I design in a piece is the color.
One of the things that's interesting about this also is the fineness of the weaving. I mean, how many, I guess you call them warps and wefts?
Warps and wefts. And I'm working in a very particular technique called double weave pickup, which is weaving two layers of fabric on the loom at the same time, one above the other, and then counting threads and exchanging them between the two layers to get the design. So I generally have one layer that's a solid color, a solid background color, and then the other layer has a gradation of the other colors. Okay. And so I'm working with playing a whole range of colors against a solid background. And because of the two layers weaving in and out of each other and being different colors, and I'm also rotating colors in the weft as I'm weaving the piece, I can get a nearly infinite range of colors.
Okay, and so how do you describe it, lines per square inch? How do you describe that?
You describe it as threads per inch or ends per inch. And I work at different sizes, but the most common one that I work in is where each layer is set at 16 ends per inch, so a total of 32 ends per inch.
Okay, so very fine.
You could be finer, but it's medium fine, I would say.
It looks very fine. I mean, it looks like a lot of work. How long does it take you to, let's say, do an average size piece? I don't know. Let's say a piece, I don't know, what's an average size piece?
Say like 2 by 3 feet.
Sure.
Might take me a couple months.
Wow.
And this one around the corner that is a depiction of the moon calendar from the year 2000. So this is the actual phases of the moon during that year. And this one is particularly detailed, and I also was working with a weft of sewing thread, so extremely fine. And this piece took 1 year to weave.
Wow.
So I'm usually looking at minimum of 1 month for a small piece.
This is an ancient tradition, mainly done by women, is that right?
Well, it depends on the culture. I would say, in the big picture, the majority of weavers are women, but there's many cultures where the men weave as well.
And you teach weaving, too.
I do. That's a big part of what I do now. I travel all over the country and even the world and teach workshops on both double weave and on geometric design.
And so who comes to your classes?
Mostly I'm teaching for weaving guilds. There's a whole network of weaving guilds throughout the country, and there's hundreds and hundreds of weaving guilds, and they generally contact me and ask me to come and teach a workshop. So I would say the majority of my students are women, and mostly on the older range from about 50 on up, but I occasionally get younger people and I occasionally get men.
And then you told me that you're helping revive this ancient tradition in Peru. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this technique began in Peru about 3,000 years ago, and we have never surpassed what was done there. It's just remarkable what the pre-Columbian Incas did on backstrap looms, and pre-Inca as well. But after the Spanish arrived, this technique died out in Peru, although it's been done in other parts of the world. And there's a woman who has started a nonprofit in Peru to revive traditional materials, techniques, imagery, and so forth. And she invited me to come down to teach at a conference that she organized this past November. And so I had 20 indigenous Quechua weavers learning this from me. And it required me learning how to weave on a backstrap loom and how to do double weave on a backstrap loom, as well as working on my Spanish and learning weaving terms in both Spanish and Quechua.
During your visit to Pella, has anything inspired you here to influence your work so far?
Well, it's been really interesting for me being back here. I grew up in the Midwest, and so this is a very familiar kind of landscape to me, although it's very different from where I live now in Santa Fe. And this college reminds me a lot of where I went to school at Lewis and Clark. And it was such an important part of my life going to school there in a small liberal arts college. And there was so much support for my ideas, which were definitely out of the box to combine these different fields. And that's what I see here, is that same kind of encouragement of integrating different fields. So it's very inspiring for me to see this here, that that same mindset is being encouraged.
Thanks to Jennifer Moore for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.